Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
All right. Well, hello. Hey, really quick, if you're a guest here, so glad you're here. But I want to ask a question. Is it okay to have some fun this morning? Are we okay with that? I know there's a lot of excitement, a lot of cool songs and all that, but want to have some fun. Is that cool? Okay. So I want to play a song for you, okay? And I want you to guess the title of the song, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, it's probably a show that, you know, play that song or whatever. Okay, so here's the show. Here's the song. I think it's by Drake. No, maybe it's by Kendrick Lamar. I'm not quite sure. Okay, no, it's not. Actually, it's not. Okay, so I'm gonna play this, okay? It might be a little old school for some of you guys, but I just think it's iconic. You know what I'm talking about? There are some songs that are just old. And then there are some songs that are iconically old that they're actually new. Anyways, whatever. Okay. You ready, guys? You guys ready for this? Okay. So there's no lyrics. We play about 20 seconds of it. And then you guys need to just, if you don't know, just kind of just do something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, just go with it. Okay. Ready? Okay. We ready? Okay. Let's go. Live stream. You guys ready? And play. Wait for it. Yes, Jeff. Okay, let's see some moves, Jeff. Yes. Such a song. Okay. Okay, what is it? What'd you say? It's like, get jiggy with it. It's not with it. It's not with it. It's what? With it. Yes. So why am I playing you the song? And for those of you who are like just visiting, you're like, That's why I didn't come here. That is the reason. That's the reason. Okay, first of all, let me just tell you, if you thought the Mosaic was not spiritual enough, look what we just did, okay, first of all, okay? But the reason why I'm playing this, it might be a little cringy, it might be a little cheesy, but I want you, in terms of your relationship with God, because we're in a series, we're just talking about the really practical things, about like spending time with God. And you know, we've done series before, they're like kind of hot, like they're like, oh, this is the topic that I want to know about. And I was talking to someone about this, that this series is not that hot. Like people are like, spending time with God, boring. Like it's kind of has that kind of an energy to it. It's had that because we were like, I just don't know, I don't know. But what we're trying to do is reclaim your time with God, that it could actually be super exciting, it could actually be super fruitful, and it doesn't have to be painful. It doesn't have to be also for those certain group of people who are just bent towards that. You could be who you are in, uniquely with all of your creativity and all of your style and all of who you are and still be a deeply spiritual person. And so this week, I want to talk about this idea because we're ending this series because we've talked about communication. We've talked about this idea of like this is how it works, where you talk to God. That was week one. The second week, we talked about creating with God, that it's spending time with God. It's not just talking to him. It's actually doing stuff with him. And so this morning, I want to talk about this idea of commitment, like sticking to it. So I play this song, the song that I played. What was it again? Get jiggy with it is because I want you, okay, I know this is gonna be super cheesy. I want you, with your relationship with God, get gritty with it, okay? So turn to your neighbor and see if you can say that to them, okay? Get what? Gritty. Get gritty with it. Get gritty with it. I want you in your relationship with God to get gritty. Now, when you think of the word grit, what comes to mind? Think about it for a second. What comes to mind? Think about it. Grit. Okay. And then what comes to mind? Tell me. Give me some answers. John Wayne. John Wayne. Okay. Wow. That was okay. Are we good with that? What do you guys think about that response? John Wayne. Who's clapping? You can't clap for your own answer. Okay. All right. Okay. What's another? I don't even know what's tough. Tough. Are we good with that? Gritty means what? Tough. What else? Any other? Durable. Durable. I like that. Durable. That's a really good. Do we like that? This idea of a durable faith. A durable faith? Huh. That will kind of stand the test, not just of time, but all kinds of disappointments. Now, I wanted to start off a little lighthearted and fun because what I want to talk to you is about your hopes and dreams that you have given up on. In fact, there's a question that I want you to think about this morning. I'm going to put it up for you, okay? And this is the question. Can we put that question up really quick? Justin, that'd be awesome, okay? And this is the question. What will it take for you to give up on your hopes and dreams? What will it take? Like, what can I do to you for you to give up on the prayers you're praying and the promises that you're hoping that will come true? What can I do? What can this world bring to you that makes you want to give up on everything good that you want out of your life? What do I need to do? If I really want to upset your life, if I really want to ruin your kid's life, if I really want to be that person that destroys every living desire, everything good in your life, what do I need to do? You're like, okay, this got serious. What happened? Because I think some of us have given up. Like, you show up, but you've given up. You show up in life, at work, in your family, in your relationships, but you've given up. You've given up because somebody or something did something for you to give up on your hopes and your dreams, to give up on the life that you really wanted. Maybe it was time, maybe it was some things that happened in your life, and maybe it's because you've been doing the things you're doing and you're still not whatever it is. And for you, it might be you're still not in a great loving relationship. You're still not stable financially. You're still not like in the career you want to live in or be in and develop. You're still not there. Like, have you ever been there? Like, you're like, I haven't gotten there. I just want you to know that when you do get there, you're going to go, okay, I still haven't gotten there. Because that's just how life works. But what do I need to do? Can I offend you? Can I insult you? Can I discourage you? What do I need to do to just rob you of that? See, I think for some of us, when it comes to just life, there are people out there who are so gritty. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in this person of Jesus. They don't believe the claims that he made. They don't even have this idea of the concept of being led by God's Spirit. They don't believe that. But man, do they have grit. Like, you cannot take away their dreams and hopes. But then I know for myself as well, and I've been in this church work for a long time, and I can tell you that there are Christians who are deeply spiritual, who love Jesus, who know all the lyrics of all the songs. Not Will Smith songs, I'm talking about worship songs. But they have no grit. That in fact, some spiritual people, and it's not you guys, by the way. You guys are awesome. Some spiritual people, all I need to do is offend them. All I have to do is get up over here. I'll tell you something. This is so sinister. I can actually get up here and say something to a person in the crowd, and it'll offend you so much that you will actually leave all your relationships and leave the church and go somewhere else. Because not that I've got that power, but you've given me that power. There's so many people, they've got hurt by church, they got hurt by people, they got hurt, and I'm like, why do you keep giving your power away? Because what that means is that you could upset me. You could say some things to me. And I can be like, you know what? This pastor thing is for dummies. And I'm leaving. And I'm out. And I just want you to know that as an immigrant, been here when I was 18, after war, trying to start a church, doing all things, leaving my Muslim faith, coming into Christianity, man, do I have so much to be offended about. So much. But see, my problem is I don't want to give anybody that power to take away my hopes and my dreams. How about you? So the energy, the idea, the attitude I want you to have this morning is found in this passage of scripture. We'll put it on the screen for you. It's the first one in Genesis, okay? So when we put it up on the screen, I want you to think about this. And here's what it says. It says this. This is the attitude. This is Jacob. Jacob needs something desperate from God. Jacob is an Old Testament character who found himself in a place where his own brother was going to kill him. And it was his fault because he had robbed him from a blessing. He'd robbed him and done some awful things. But he's at a moment where he's going to face his brother, and this is a serious family feud. And he knows that this could just hinder or kill generations. And he's at a moment, and he has this moment with God, and he says this to him. Because the story there talks about this idea of wrestling with God. And he says this to God. He says what? I will not let you go. Help me out, unless what? You bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me. I'm getting what I came for. Like, I need this. Like, I'm not gonna let go of you. I'm not gonna stop praying. I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna do, I'm not gonna just give up on this. I'm not gonna just stop. I'm gonna get discouraged, but I'm gonna get up again and do it again. I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna let go. Even though I feel insulted, even though I feel offended, I'm not going to let go of my hopes and dreams, my prayers. I'm not going to let go, even though I know that I've prayed, and I still live with chronic pain. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go till you bless me. I wonder if that is what your spirituality and your relationship with Jesus is missing, where you have this audacity to say, I'm not letting go. I'm still bringing it up. I know you don't want to talk about it. I know you're not doing anything, but hello, I'm on it. I'm staying with it. What would that look like for us? What would it look like for us? I think your relationship with God could go so much further if we had that kind of attitude, because that attitude has grit all over it, has a gritty faith all over it. And people tell us that grit is basically a combination of passion and perseverance. Well, you tap into your passion and you tap into your perseverance. And I think that what's interesting about that definition is it lines up so well with the stories and the actions of Jesus. So here's one, the first passage here. Now let me go right to it. This is an interesting story, and this is found in Matthew. And it says here that Jesus left Galilee and then went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So what did he leave? Did he leave somewhere, right? What did he leave? He left that. So I just want you to know that Galilee is where all the Jewish people lived. And where he went was not where Jewish people lived. So Jesus, as rabbi, goes intentionally, leaves the place that he usually hangs out with and goes somewhere else. It's like, hey, I know everybody else hangs out here. I know my people, in a sense, Jewish people hang out here. I'm leaving to go somewhere else, which, by the way, a rabbi would not necessarily do, because he's a Jewish rabbi. He is for Jewish people, and that's not it. But Jesus continually leaves his quote-unquote own people and goes to the others. And so he goes intentionally to this region. So there is intention here. And what happens? A Gentile woman, A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. So this woman is beside herself. She sees Jesus, who's really is never in that part of town, in part of that world, sees him runs to him, has heard stories about this guy. She has no permission. She has no authority. She has no play to go and talk to a Jewish rabbi. She is not even Jewish. She's going to a rabbi. She's going to another religious priest. Like she believes something else. She believes Arabia had several different religions that they practiced. But she goes to him and says, I need a favor from you. I know I don't really, you know, can demand it or ask for it. I don't have permission for it. I just want you to, I know I'm not supposed to be in the room. I'm not supposed to be here. But I'm just going to go ahead and ask anyways. I have no right to do this. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to ask. I know there's no reason why you should say yes, but I'm just going to ask. Here's my ask. My ask is my daughter. She is possessed. She needs help. She needs help. So what happens right after that? Right after that, it says Jesus gave her what? I'm sorry, what? Not even a what? Not even a word. Now, could you imagine that? Could you imagine, like, what's happening? Have you ever said a prayer out there and you're like, you didn't hear anything, did you? Not even anything. Like, God, I need your help. What should I do? What should I do? And it's like crickets. It's like your prayers are going up. They're bouncing off the ceiling, coming right back. God, you're not even a word. You get nothing. You don't get peace. You don't get anything. You don't get anything. And then his disciples urged him to send her away. So now what's happening is that this scene is turned where it's not just Jesus involved. Now that you've got disciples and they are like, you know what? Okay, you're not going to talk to her. So just stop. Like, let's just stop this. Stop this. And then they say this. It says, go tell her to go away. Now here, this is the disciples telling Jesus something. Like, just imagine the what's happening here. You've got a pagan woman who has no authority to be in a relationship with this rabbi, asking him for something huge. And then you have disciples who've been with him for a couple of years now, and here's what how they're comfortable in this relationship. They tell her to go away because she is what? Help me out. This is awful. This is awful, okay? Okay, so if you're not a follower of Jesus, this is an awful passage right here. This is intentionally what Jesus does, but here, the disciples say, she's bothering us with all her what? Begging. What an awful thing to say. Oh my gosh, your begging is bothering me. Like, can you please? I don't want, no. Like, see, the thing is that I think if you were really honest, most of us have thought that at moments. You know, we're in a scene and there's someone who really wants some food or something. We're like, just go away. You never say it because you're like, I'm not that person. I'm not that person. But deep down, you're like, I am that person. You are messing up my vibe here. I'm all dressed up nicely. I'm going somewhere and now you show up and now you're like, make me feel bad. I don't want to feel bad for you. So please, just go away. Just go away. But here, disciples don't know that you're only supposed to think that. They actually say it out loud, and they also say it out loud to who? Jesus. Like, hey, can you, it's bothering us, isn't it? Isn't it? Oh, wow. Bothering us. It's interesting. Interesting. Then Jesus said to the woman, I don't know what you were thinking he was going to say. Maybe you've read the story, so you know. I was sent only, this is his first response to her. I was sent only to help God's lost people, the people of Israel. Now that is an awful thing to say, right? Like God says, hey, I'm the God of the universe, but nah, not you guys. What? Like, I'm only here for these people. But then she came and worshiped him. So now she comes closer and pleaded again, Lord, please help me. Please help me. So now they move from a distance because Jesus from a distance says, hey, I'm only here for my people, not your people. Not your people. I'm only here for Jewish people. Not all these other people. But then she comes closer to him. I love the audacity to that, to move closer in, even though you've just been told you're not supposed to be here, we're bothered by you, you're annoying us, and now she gets closer, even though you've been fully on rejected, like this is not a place for you. And she comes closer and she goes, hey, please help me. And then Jesus, you think, would respond in a nicer way. This is what he says. He says, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the... What? Could you imagine? I'm sure the disciples are like, well, we didn't say that at least. I mean, we didn't call her a dog. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we just said the begging. It's too much begging. But now, what? Could you imagine just the... Then they're like, I'm sorry, did Jesus just say that? Did Jesus just say that? Not just, hey, you're not the right human that I'm here for. You're not the right human. You're not Jewish. No. You're not even a human. I mean, this is also Jesus, right? This is Jesus. And what do you think she's going to say? And what kind of faith does she have? I think she has a little bit of grit in her faith because she's tapped into what she's most passionate about. She replies right back, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fell beneath their master's table." Even dogs are allowed to do that. Like her faith didn't stop right there. It got more furious. And then Jesus turns, his attitude changes, everything. He says, "Dear woman, your faith is what? It's great. It's gritty. It's great." Do you know this expression, "Your faith is great"? That word "great" is only mentioned two times in the entire New Testament. And both times, Jesus is talking to a non-Jewish person. And he describes them, their great faith. This is one, and the other one was a centurion, not a Jewish person. Great, great faith. And then he says, "Your request is granted," and her daughter was instantly healed. Let me ask you, like, what does God have to do to make you stop? Like, can God just ghost you for a little bit and you'll stop praying? What if God insults you? You're like, "I cannot handle that." No. What if God insults you? I mean, and maybe he's ignoring you. Maybe he's insulting you because he's testing the quality of your faith and your passion. You see, when we think of grit, we think of, okay, passion and perseverance. But what is passion? Because there's a myth out there that we're supposed to live out our passion. I don't believe that's true. You're not supposed to live out your passion. Here's why. Because even though the world tells you, hey, find, when it comes to your job and career, find what you love and do it. And if you love what you do, you'll never work a what? Bull. Bull, I call bull. Not true. I love what I do, and sometimes I don't want to do it. It's a job. The myth is, I have to live out my passion. Friends, the world is not big enough, or linear enough, or simple enough for everyone to live out their passion. Let me just tell you, because there's laundry to do. I'm just saying, no one's like, "I was born to do laundry. It's my purpose in life." No, no one thinks that. No one. And if you do, let's talk, you know? But you know what you can do, which all of us can do? We can live, not out our passion, but we can live with passion. See, some of us have resigned in life because our job and our passion don't connect. What you need to do is remember the job that you do that really is mid doesn't matter because it makes you, it affords you, it gives you the opportunity to actually do the things you love to do. So you do it. So you figure out what your passion is. Her passion was not to get healing. Her passion was her daughter. She's like, I don't care. Call me a dog. Anything else you want to call me? You're not listening? I'll get louder. Oh, you don't like the begging? I'm going to beg like you've never seen. Because she was tapped into her passion. See, when you tap into the quality, like, what do you want in life? Not the job. No, what do you want? You want to experience so many amazing memories with friends? All right, then figure out all the other things you got to do to make sure that passion exists, that you can do that. Like, do the stuff that you need to do to live out passionately in your life. But trying to find passion in the job you do, that's going to be impossible. And for a lot of us, that doesn't happen. But don't resign on your life and say, I'm not going to live my life with passion just because everything's not working out for me. It doesn't need to work out for you. You're going to be insulted and you're going to be ignored. You're going to be ghosted. You're going to be rejected, and it's okay. And with God, you're going to have opportunities where you go, God, I really, 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 really. And he doesn't say anything. And then what you were praying for actually happens to the person you actually hate. You're like, you just insulted me. She gets pregnant again? Like again. And we're trying forever. We're trying forever. And God's like, I'm testing you. He's like, I'm testing you. I'm testing you. How gritty is your faith? How gritty is it? How gritty is it? Can you tap into that? So what would it look like for you and I to develop, like, what's our passion? The next thing is this idea of perseverance. Perseverance. Perseverance is this idea of, like, you stick through to it regardless. You just keep on at it regardless of what happens. And for this is interesting, because when it comes to spirituality, like, I think there's this unwritten idea that if God doesn't say anything, you stop. If God doesn't give you a yes, you don't move. You don't move forward. I don't know what he wants me to do. I'm not quite sure. And I realize that I think for so many of us, the intention behind that is pure and it's good. But you need to keep on going till you hear no. But if you don't hear anything, you keep going. You just keep going. You just have to keep on going. You got to keep on going. See, it's just interesting, because I think for so many of us, when it comes to our faith and perseverance, and this idea of even gritty faith, if you were honest, maybe you're watching online, you're like, there's a reason why I don't like this idea. And the reason why you don't like this idea is because you believe that God wants you to be proper with him. Like, there's a certain way you need to interact with God. Because spiritual people act a very spiritual way, right? There's an idea of, like, there's like people who are super spiritual, they end up acting a different way. Am I not right? Right? There's just a different way. Aren't there people in your life where you talk to your coworkers a certain way, and then there are certain people you're really proper with? You're really proper with. I went to my first derby party. Amy, you heard of a derby party? Right? Okay. So I've heard about this. I was like, this is the whitest thing in the world. Anyways, no. Did I say that out loud? Sorry. Listen, I was the only brown guy there. Anyways. And I was joking about being the help. But anyways. And so I went with some friends, and they were introducing me to people. And the first person they introduced, they were like, hey, this is Naeem, and he's my pastor. And I was like, I'm your friend. Like, the eyes communicated. I was like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't tell everybody in this place that I'm a pastor, because it's going to be a miserable time for them and me. Because all of a sudden, they're going to change the way they talk to me. They act around me. Some people are putting drinks away. They're like, hey, you know, we're not betting on a horse. No, we're not. Gambling is a sin. You know, I'm like, what? Calm down. Please don't do this. I you might not experience this. I do this. I could be anywhere. I mean, yesterday I was at the gym and someone said something and then they apologized. They're like, oh, I love Jesus. I'm born again. I'm like, because this person said, hell yes. I was like, okay, heaven no, you know, or whatever. I don't know. I'm like, what? Like, calm down. See, I know it's funny because we all do this, but you and I tend to do this with God. When it comes to prayer, when it comes to wanting things, when it comes to, like, really going after the things we want in life, we give up because we feel like we need to be proper with him. And God wants us to be persistent with him. So there's this passage I want to read. The context of it is where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and his disciples are like, hey, listen, you know John the Baptist, the guy who kind of set you up? And John did set him up. John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin who kind of set up, kind of opened the door for Jesus, let people know that Jesus was coming and that kind of deal. But John would baptize people because, you know, Jesus got baptized by John. And John would also disciple them. So he was like this rabbi who was in the wilderness. And basically what he was doing is he was teaching people how to have a relationship with God. He would teach them to pray. And so the disciples of John knew kind of how to pray. So what happens is when Jesus shows up in the scene, the disciples are like, you know what? Jesus does all this stuff, but he's not really practical. Like John's doing this. And so they just come to him one day and they go, hey, John taught his disciples to pray. We were just wondering, could you teach us to pray? And so Jesus shoots off this Lord's Prayer. You guys remember the Lord's Prayer, right? He does that. But that's not the heart of it. He says, okay, this is how you should do it. But then he says, but let me tell you the energy, the attitude in terms of the Lord's Prayer. And he begins to tell a story. He's like, you're going to miss the Lord's Prayer if you don't understand the kind of attitude you need to have towards it. He says, here's a story. The story is, this is a guy, he was sleeping, and his neighbor, buddy of his, has guests come over, and his buddy it goes to sleep early, and guests come, and he doesn't have enough food. And so he goes over to his neighbor, who is easily asleep. Like, could you imagine knocking the door of your neighbor, you know, right now in your neighborhood, right? They're asleep, you know? And it's not like, I mean, they're asleep. Like, have you ever had people call you and go, were you sleeping? Yeah, I was, but not anymore, you know? Like what? So he says, there was a guy who really needed something. It wasn't a big thing. He just needed extra food. So he goes over and he starts knocking the door of his buddy. And his buddy does not open up. And he keeps on, and it's late. All the time, Jesus is talking about prayer. He's talking about prayer. There's nothing, by the way, proper about the story. A proper story would be is, hey, I planned this event, or like, we've run out of food. Like, do you have people in your life, you're like, if you run out of food, it is your fault. You did not plan correctly. And you know what? Now you're in trouble and I'm not gonna help you out. Those people, you know, you guys love you, but I'm one of those guys. I'm like, hey, threw a party. Didn't know who all was gonna show up. We're out of stuff. We gotta go figure out what to do. So he's talking about prayer that is not proper. It's persistent. So what happens? What happens is here's where we pick it up. He says, this guy, the neighbor, keeps knocking and the guy's not opening up. And he says, I'll tell you, he'll actually do it if you keep on. And then this is where we pick it up. He says, though, he won't do it for friendship's sake. Like he doesn't do it because he likes you. You've moved past that. He doesn't like you anymore. It's too late. He doesn't like you. You keep knocking. He doesn't like you. If you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your, help me out, because of your what? Shameless persistence. He said, let me tell you the energy you need to have when it comes to prayer. It's not proper. It's late. It's annoying. It seems like all this begging, it doesn't take rejection well. It takes rejection well. It keeps on knocking. It's this prayer that goes and says, I really want this. It's a prayer. It's this relationship where you know what you're passionate about and you want to make this happen and you're persistent about it. And Jesus says here, he's like, I'll tell you what, because of your shameless persistence. And so what does that look like? He says, so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on what? Seeking and you will what? Find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. For anyone who seeks, what? Finds. And who to everyone who knocks, what? The door will be open. Anyone who keeps on knocking shamelessly, keeps on seeking shamelessly, persistently, keeps on going forward, keeps on doing this. Not someone who's politely knocking at the door. Ta-ta. No. No. When we're coming to, like, when you come to God, you're not dropping off an Amazon package. Okay, rang the bell, but you're not coming. Okay, I'm leaving it. No, I'm going. I'm going to put a prayer over here. Hope you like it. Leave. No, I'm like, hey, I want to, what's going on in there? What are you doing in heaven? You busy? Because I'm in trouble. I need you. Hey, I need you. Come on now. Let's go. Anytime. I really need this. Oh, I need this. I need this. I need this. God, like, have you ever prayed long enough that you're like, I know God is so annoyed with me. Like, he doesn't even like me. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't be proper with God. Because here's what you and I don't understand. God wants to give us beautiful things, beautiful memories. He wants to give us beautiful experiences. He wants the best out of you. But I can't explain this and I can't understand it, but I do know that there is more going on than just this material world. And when we pray for certain things, there are things happening in another dimension, in another world, in the heavens that are connected to our prayers. And we get glimpses of that in the scriptures. We get a glimpse when an angel shows up and says, hey, I'm sorry I'm late because I was fighting a war. What? What's happening here? You get glimpses of that when Jesus is like, hey, I want you to pray all night with me because I'm about to get tortured. Why are we praying all night when you are going to give yourself up anyways? What's happening? There's something else happening. So when you feel like God's not listening to you, it's not that he's not listening to you, ignoring you. There is something else going on. And what he needs you and I to do is to keep on going what? On. He wants us to be passionate, to tap into it, and he wants you to be persistent in your faith. Because what changes the game for us is when we're gritty with it. Gritty. That there's no person, there's no word spoken to us in the past, there's no demon, there's no supernatural things, there's no situations in the world, there's no economy, there's no world, there's no sadness, there's no brokenness that's going to keep us from giving up on our hopes and dreams, on our prayers and our promises. So, I want to pray for you. I pray that you have gritty faith. A faith that says, I'm not going to give up. Because some of you, you have. And you can get back on. You can get back on it. You took a break. You came back, come back again knocking. You walked away when you got insulted. When someone spiritual insulted you. When someone else says, you just don't have enough faith. God just doesn't love you. Or you know what? You have so much sin in your life and that's why you're not seeing the results. You don't have enough, you have so much wrong with you. And that's why your prayers are not being answered. Everything was wrong with that Gentile woman, by the way. Everything. Jesus even alluded to it. I'm here for Jewish people. You are not. They are the chosen. You are not. And she's like, I don't even care. Is my sins are as filthy as dogs on fleas on dogs. I don't care. I need this. I need this. See that? Friends, that is when Jesus goes, hold up. This is great. This is great faith. This is what I'm talking about. So, let's stand together. Can we do that? Let's stand together. Let me pray for us. Lord God, I thank you for this idea of a relationship with you. For some of us, God, it's so strange because we kind of feel like we look at other people's relationship with you, and we think, well, I'm never going to be that person, so I'm just not spiritual. Some of us, God, we look at our relationships with the church and how we are church people, and we just go, I'm never going to be that person. Yeah. We look at some people and we go, you know, I'm never going to be that spiritual. God, I pray that you'd break us from that, that you remind us, show us, that God, your blessings over us, that your will over us for good has nothing to do with the idea of us deserving it. God, it's not about if we deserve it or we've earned it or we qualify to have our hopes and dreams fulfilled, that we're eligible for your promises, your grace, your mercy. God, would you convict some of us who've given up? There's someone online, and you've given up. You've given up. And there's no shame in that, because rejection is rough. But we can get back on it. We can go back. You let go a little bit, but now you're going back and going, God, I'm not gonna let go until you bless me. So God, I pray that as we move forward in this, in the next couple of minutes, as we respond, as we sing, I pray that God, you would consume us with the idea that you wanna bless us. You wanna bless our families, generations to come. God, consume us with that as we go to the cross, or maybe we light a candle or we receive communion. God, allow us to experience that in Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.